may be seated. This evening, I'm continuing on prayer. We've been exploring prayer. What is prayer and how do we pray? And for those of you that don't know, you can download our sermons for free online, either on the Shofar website or on podcasts. Or otherwise, you can also apparently order it at the back if you want a hard copy of that. But if you missed out, you're more than welcome to catch up. We spoke about prayer, and one of the reasons we pray is because God loves us, and we love God. And we're quick to say that Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship, and in any relationship, there is communication. And that's really the foundation of any relationship is communication. And it's more than a one-way communication. It's a two-way communication. And prayer is us praying to God, communicating to God, speaking to God. But prayer is also a place where we hear from God, where God speaks to us. And we share around this concept of not just speaking, but listening in prayer. That's why we call our time together a quiet time. Because it's not just us speaking, but also us becoming still before God and allowing Him to speak to us. And it's mostly when we are still, when we are quiet, when we are listening, that God actually speaks to us. And we explored this still small voice through which God speaks. Here in John 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me." And it's such a powerful message that Jesus, and revelation that He brought, when He said that, "My sheep, they hear my voice," so we all can hear His voice. And the effect of hearing God's voice, the result of that, is that we have a relationship. We know each other. And we follow Him. So hearing God's voice always leads to these two things. It leads to a relationship and it leads to obedience as we follow Him. But this evening I want to share around how does God speak if He says we can hear His voice. So how does He speak to us today? And last week and the week before, in my quiet time, I was just reading Hebrews. And as I was preparing for the sermon, God led me back to the first verse, four verses in Hebrews, and I want us to read that here from verse 1. "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the power of His word, when He by Himself purged our sins and sat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." It's quite a powerful verse. And as I was preparing, I was thinking, "Oh, this first verse, the first two verses." It's so powerful, and it's such a great introduction to hearing God's voice and the various ways that God speaks, because it starts off by saying, God, at various times and in various ways, spoke in time past by the prophets. And then I got stuck by verse 2. But before I get to that, for the sake of what I promised, to share around the ways God speaks to us, let's start there. Here it says that in various ways God spoke to us. And you know what? God still speaks to us in various ways. And last week we explored the still small voice, but I'm not going to go through all the ways that God speaks to us, or God has spoken and still speaks to us. I mean, God did speak through a burning bush, and God did speak through a donkey. But I want us to explore the ways God mostly speaks to us. How does God mostly speak to us? Hebrews 1 says that God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. In time past, now you must listen God's word. It says, in times past, I spoke to the fathers by the prophets. So in the past, God spoke through the prophets. You know, if you read the Bible, you see Moses, Elijah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos. God spoke to the people through the prophets, and it's still there. It's still recorded for us. Everything that God has spoken through the prophets, we can still go and read. But Hebrews says, in time past, God spoke to us by the prophets. And yes, to this very day, God also still speaks through the prophets. But how did God speak to them? How did God speak to the prophets? We know that God spoke to the people through the prophets, but how did God speak to the prophets? Well, we read of that. God mainly, if you study the scripture, mainly spoke to the prophets through dreams and visions. And then there was also the odd visitation of an angel. And also this still small voice, but mainly through dreams and visions. And on some odd occasions, an angel appeared that kind of emphasized what God was saying. And then God also spoke to them in private in that still space where they're quiet before God. God spoke to them. But in dreams and visions, God spoke to most of the prophets. And again, it's not something that happened publicly. It's something that happened privately in that still, secret, quiet space before God that God spoke to the prophets. Here in Genesis 15, verse 1, then after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And then to Jacob, here in Genesis 46, he says, and God spoke to Israel in visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And here in Ezekiel 11, we see that the Spirit then took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea to those in captivity. And when the vision that I've seen went up from me, so I spoke to those in captivity to all of all the things the Lord have shown me. So here we see that God spoke to the prophets by visions. And we know how God spoke by dreams. We know of Joseph and others has God spoken to them through dreams. So God's word came to the prophets by visions and dreams, and then they spoke what God revealed to them. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and we can go through the list. But God also speaks through dreams and visions in the New Testament. It's not just in the Old Testament that God spoke through visions and dreams. Here in Matthew 2, verse 12, we see then, speaking of the three wise men, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take your young child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. There in Acts verse 9 we see, and in a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. In Acts 18, verse 9, again, I don't know why it's always verse 9, but the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And so we see that God also spoke through dreams and visions in the New Testament, not just in the Old. And then, of course, God also spoke through angels. Interestingly, many times God spoke through angels in a dream. And then there was times that angels physically appeared and God spoke through them. And it's fascinating whenever an angel physically manifested, you know what? Everybody's response was the same. They fell on their faces in fear. So I'm not going to spend too much time on how God speaks to you through an angel, because if an angel speaks to you, you will know God has spoken to you. There will be no doubt. Because we see that in the Bible, whenever an angel appears, especially soldiers, whenever soldiers, and these soldiers were tough guys. These men were not play soldiers. They were rough. They were tough. They were afraid of nothing. They were not afraid to die. They've seen death all over them, and they're not afraid to kill. But whenever a soldier saw an angel, they ran away, fell on their face. Remember when the angels appeared on the at the grave where Jesus was buried, when they saw, they ran away. Whenever a soldier sees an angel. So I'm not going to spend too much time on how does God speak to you through an angel, because if he does, you will know it is God. I have not yet seen one. I was also a soldier, so I would also probably be afraid. Or maybe it's just soldiers that's afraid of angels. I don't know. But anyway, that's just what I read. So how does all these different ways of dreams and visions and that still small voice where the Holy Spirit speaks to us and angels, how does it practically come together? How does it practically look like? Well, there's a great example in Acts chapter 10. I don't have the verses here at the back. It's a whole chapter. So if you have your Bible here, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 10. If you don't have your Bible here, then you'll have to trust me. But here's a great example of how God speaks. It's the account of Cornelius and Peter, or Peter and Cornelius. I don't know which one was the main emphasis. But remember, Peter, he really struggled with this idea that Gentiles could become Christians without becoming Jewish first. So he had this great theological problem. The early church had that also. And Paul, God used Paul very powerfully to challenge that theological mindset. And we remember how... let's read here in Acts chapter 10. We read of Cornelius. He was a centurion in the army. He was a commander in the Italian regiment, a devoted man, and one who feared God and all his household, and gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid. Okay, even Cornelius, even in a vision, this is not even an angel appearing in the material. This is just Cornelius in a vision seeing an angel, and he was afraid. But he was a soldier, that's probably why he was afraid. You don't need to worry, you're not one, so you probably won't be. But anyway, he was, and he said, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send man to Joppa, and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. It's very interesting. God speaks to a Gentile through a vision by an angel, and gives him a name, a surname, and an address, and an instruction. And every time God speaks, it's followed by obedience. Jesus says, my sheep, they know, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So God speaks to this gentle commander through a vision. And what is his response? Great detail God speaks to him, and his response is he brought one of his faithful servants and one of his most devoted soldiers, and he sends them to this address. And there they go. And here we read further in verse 17. The next day, as they went on their journey, they drew near to the city. Peter, on the other hand, went up on the housetop to pray. Again, he went to pray. And it's in the time of prayer that God speaks to him. So he went up to the housetop to pray, and about the sixth hour there. And then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound by the four corners descending on him and let down on the earth. And in it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and say, arise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And the voice spoke to him again a second time, what God has cleansed you shall not call common. This was done three times, and then the object was taken into heaven. So here, God speaks to Peter again through a vision. God speaks to him. And then, here verse 17, now while Peter wondered within him what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about this vision, the Spirit said to him, the still small voice, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise therefore and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." You see how God speaks through visions and angels and the Holy Spirit. And then it was followed again by obedience. And then Peter went with these men to Cornelius. And when they came to Cornelius, Cornelius was there with his entire family and friends. And then Peter spoke. Because remember, the angel said to you, "You must call this guy to you and he will speak to you. He will tell you everything that you need to know." And then Peter shared the gospel. God spoke to these Gentiles through preaching. And as they heard the gospel, we read this amazing account while people, and then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I perceive that God was shown amongst you no partiality." And then he goes on, and while Peter, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision believed and were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, "How can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. You see how God speaks to dreams, angels, visions, the Holy Spirit, preaching, everything working together as God speaks. But then, of course, God also speaks audibly. It's another way God speaks, when God audibly speaks to us. Now, when God speaks to you audibly, it's not the still small voice. When God speaks audibly, everybody will hear it. It's like me speaking to you. It's another way God spoke in the times past. And also in the New Testament, we see that God spoke audibly. And if he speaks audibly, everybody around you would also hear exactly the same thing. And that's another way God spoke. And in the New Testament, there's three times that God spoke audibly. All three times, he spoke over his son. The first time is, of course, when Jesus was baptized. Remember the day when Jesus came to John and said, "I must be baptized." But you and John said, no, clearly you got things messed up. You should not ask me to baptize you. You must actually baptize me. But Jesus responded and said, "Listen, let all righteousness be fulfilled. It is necessary for you to baptize me." And then, of course, John baptized him. And as he went under the water and he came up, we know heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And then a voice came here in Matthew 3, verse 17. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And everybody heard that. And then the third time that Jesus was spoken over and was recorded in the New Testament of an audible voice was just before his death. And Jesus was praying, and at the end of his prayer, he was saying, "Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again." And therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered and under said, "An angel has spoken to him." You see, everybody heard what was said. And then really what stood out for me was the second time that God spoke audibly. It was Jesus with his closest disciples, John and Peter and Andrew. They went up to the mountain, and it's where the transfiguration took place, where Jesus was transformed in a moment in a glorified body. And he stood with Moses and Elijah on the mountain and with these three disciples, and they were quite, you know, awestruck by what happened. I would have been also. And the conversation that they saw between Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and they were so confused. They said, "Listen, must we build you a place to stay? Must we build you a tent or a hut?" Or, you know, they didn't really know what to do. And while Peter was still asking these very stupid questions, a voice, while he was speaking, "Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" Listen.
listen to Him. This brings me back to Hebrews 1. In times past, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past. I want you to say that. In times past. Can you do that? God, in various ways and at various times, in times past. And I hope you get this. In times past, God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But now, in these last days, we live in the last days, don't we? In times past, you must get this. In times past, God spoke to the people by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son.
And this is quite amazing, and I really trust tonight that you that God will open the eyes of your understanding to get this, that in the past God spoke by the prophets, but in the last days God has spoken to us, past tense, by His Son. God has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world, who being in the brightness of the glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had made by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, and has by inheritance obtained a far more excellent name than they. I want you to get this. Numbers 12 verse 6 says, and God spoke and He says, now hear My words. Now hear My words. Now hear My words. God spoken in time past. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make Myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. But not so with My servant Moses. He is faithful in all My house. I speak to him face to face, even plainly, not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant? Past, God spoke to us through the prophets. In the past, God spoke to us through the prophets. You know how many people in these last days run after prophets? In the past, God spoke through prophets. And in these last days, men and women run after prophets. They travel to deep, dark Middle Africa and far away America. They travel all over there seeking to hear by the prophet. But Jesus says, in these last days, I have spoken by My Son. Why are we running after prophets? Please don't misunderstand me. I believe in the fivefold ministry. I believe in the prophetic. I believe in the apostolic, in the evangelist, in the pastor, in the teacher, and the prophet. And God still speaks through the prophet. But mainly, He speaks through His Son. These prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors, they are secondary when it comes to the dispensation that we find ourselves in, the privilege that we live in. These last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. The past, God spoke to the prophets in dreams and visions. You know how many people today in these last days, they run after dreams and visions. They trust God for a dream and they trust God for a vision. And we have books written how to interpret dreams. But in these last days, God did not speak to us by dreams and vision. Not that He doesn't also. Please don't misunderstand me. He also speaks to us through dreams and visions. But primarily, He's not speaking to us through dreams and visions anymore. He speaks to us by His Son. Why do we run after these things if we don't first seek Him? Because this is far greater. It's His Son. Please don't misunderstand me. God still speaks to us through dreams and visions. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. who he has appointed heir over all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who is the brightness of his glory. You must get this. Who is Jesus? He is the brightness of his glory. Remember Moses, to whom God spoke face to face? Moses called out to God and said, God, show me your glory and it'll be enough to me. Just show me your glory. It'll be enough. I want to see your glory. And God said, you can't see my glory. Moses, you can't see my glory. You can hide in this cliff, you can hide in this cave, and I will pass you by. And as I myself and my glory passes you by, you may look at the back of it. We read in Numbers, it says, Moses saw the form of God. Here it says, but in the last days, he speaks to us through his Son, who has appointed heir of all things, through whom he's also made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, he had made himself. Do you get this? In this last days, God no longer speaks to us primarily through the prophets, but he speaks to us through his Son, who is the express brightness, fullness of God's glory, who is the expression of God's person in completeness. His word upholds everything. We know John chapter 1 that says, in the beginning was God. Or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines into the darkness, and darkness cannot overcome it. And you know what? The Word became flesh. He dwelt amongst us, because in the last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And the Word became flesh and spoke to us in human form. And then the Spirit recorded it for us in written form. He has spoken to us in these last days through his Son, who is the express glory, expression of his glory, the fullness of his glory, the expression of his person in completion. God has spoken to us through his Son. Those red letters. God has spoken to us. We know the Word says about the Word. I mean, that's what we're talking about, hearing the voice of God, the Word. If you don't catch the clue here, and why do God call it the Word? I want to hear your voice, and God says, go to my Word. But I want to hear your voice, God. But he says, go to my Word. But I want to hear your voice, God. And God was thinking, go to my Word. My Word became flesh, and it spoke. I have spoken. God, I want to know your will. I have spoken. God, I want to know your will, but I have already spoken. Yes, but God, I want to know your will. But I have spoken. We know the Word says that the Word is powerful and alive. John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things that I have said to you. You see, it's when we spend time in the Word that the Holy Spirit makes the Word alive. Because the Word is far greater than dreams and visions and prophecies. Even angels. If you read Hebrews chapter 1, it speaks about that. It is far greater than your angels. You know how many Christians today, in these last days, they run after angels. They seek angels. And angel feathers and all kinds of stuff. Why don't we seek Jesus? Because we're running after these things, and please don't misunderstand me. These things are great, and they are magnificent. But let's pursue first Jesus. Let's pursue Him first, and all these things as extras, as secondary. Let's not run after all these things when in the last days He has spoken to us. If you read, please go read Hebrews chapter 1. It actually speaks about the whole concept that Jesus is far greater than the angels. If we run after these things, after prophets and dreams and visions and angels and manifestations, when Jesus has already spoken. Let us pursue God first. And then after you read chapter 1, chapter 2, in the context of who Jesus is, that in God in various ways, various times in the past, spoken to us by the prophets, but these are now in the last days He's spoken to us through His Son, who is the expression, the fullness of God's glory and His person, who upholds everything by His word. And then He explains how much greater He is than the angels. And then chapter 2, verse 1, He says, therefore, my favorite English word in the Bible, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, past tense. And I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us now and here. Don't misunderstand me. I'm saying this, what God has spoken. You know, many Christians today try to find creative ways not to apply what Jesus has already spoken. Why it's not applicable, why it's not for us, why these red letters is not relevant to us today. And I hear all these arguments, I'm thinking, who are you following? Because God has spoken to us in these last days through His Son, and what He has spoken is life. It's not a mystery even. And some of it still is, but by the Holy Spirit, as we spend time in His Word, you know what? God makes it alive and He breaks open His Word and He speaks to us. Let us take more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. The NIV says, most careful attention. Let us take most careful attention to these red letters. Because in the past, God spoke by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. He has spoken to us through His Son. We must read these words. We must read to listen. We must read to listen. God, what are you saying? What are you saying, God, in these last days? What are you saying to me, God? What do you mean by this? And how must I apply it? And the more we listen, the more He speaks. This is where God speaks the most to us. It's when we read His Word, not just to read, but to listen. It's where the Holy Spirit comes and the Logos becomes Rhema. And He speaks to us and He opens up and He makes it personal. It's where we hear that still small voice speak to us the most. It is in His Word. It is in His Word. And then it says, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Lest we drift away. When we do not follow the Word first and foremost, primarily, if we do not take earnest heed, if we do not pursue it first, we drift away. I don't know if I grew up on a farm and in a town where we had a swimming pool and the dam we swam, and the rivers. I loved hiking up in the mountains and jumping off waterfalls. And one of the most amazing things as a kid that I discovered is that wood, it floats on water, and it has a tendency to drift. It drifts. You know when something falls in the swimming pool and you try, and it just like drifts out of reach. I've realized, you know what, most Christians don't radically turn from God. They don't all of a sudden decide, I'm no longer going to follow God anymore. No, most Christians, they drift.
they drift away. Slowly. Slowly but surely. The Word of God says, therefore, we must take the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. We tend to drift because we do not follow the Word. Jesus has spoken, but that's not what we really want to hear. Or Jesus has spoken, and it's not really enough. Or Jesus has spoken, and I don't really understand. Or Jesus has spoken, and I don't have the goosebumps. And we start to run after other things. But when this is primarily way God speaks to you, if this is what you seek most, if this is where you spend your time and your hope and your faith and your expectation, when this is it, you know what? All these other things, they confirm what God has already said. Then prophecy becomes confirmation. Then the manifestation of the supernatural becomes confirmation. And then these things find its rightful place when we come into God's presence and the angel feathers appears and all these things, then it finds its rightful place as confirmation of what God has already been speaking. You know, if we spend time in the Word, you know, we can watch and we can listen and we can be able to discern what is the truth and what is not. And we will not be dependent on Joyce Meyer and John Bevere and Joseph Prince. And we can go on with the list. And there's nothing wrong with these people. Please don't misunderstand me. But we don't need other people to interpret for us what God is saying if we have the Word ourselves. And how will you be able to discern what is the truth and what is not the truth? Because some of those things in TBN, you know, some of those things, forgive me, but they are not the truth. You will never know what you don't know if you don't know what you don't know. How does that saying go? I don't know. But you only know what you know. You will never know unless you know. But in these last days, praise God, in these last days, you don't need to travel to Nigeria. You don't need to travel to America. Because God has already spoken. The more the time you spend in His Word, the more He speaks to you in various ways. I've discovered, the more time I spend in the Word, the more God speaks to me at various times and in various ways. Hearing God's voice starts with listening to His words. Hearing God's voice starts with listening to His words. Then Matthew 17 verse 5 says, while they were still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. If you want to hear His voice, start with His Word. Start with listening to Jesus. And He will speak to you. And you will hear His voice. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank You. We want to thank You, Father, that You no longer speak to us by prophets only. Yes, God, in the past we were dependent on the prophets to speak to us, God. But I want to thank You, Father, even though You still speak through prophets today, You primarily speak to us by Your Son. Thank You, God, that You've come to the earth, not through a dream or a vision, but You became flesh. And like John says, we behold Your glory. We touched You. And You spoke to us. You spoke to us and You lived amongst us. You interpreted for us through Your life. God, I want to thank You that You did not just speak 2,000 years ago, but Holy Spirit, You recorded that, what we need to hear, and 2,000 years later, we can still hear your words. And thank you that your word is alive. It's powerful. It divides between thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It cuts deep. It breaks like a hammer. It opens up if we're only willing to listen. God, forgive us when we run after prophets and dreams and visions and angels instead of running after you first. God, help us, create in us a hunger and an expectation and a faith and a hope in your word. Lord, I pray that as we spend time in it and we read your word to listen to you, that Holy Spirit, you will make it alive and you will speak to us through your word. And as we are rooted and growing in it, God, you'll speak to us also through the prophets and the dreams and the visions and the angels. But God, this evening I want to pray for those of us that are here this morning while all the eyes are closed. Maybe God is speaking to you about drifting. Maybe slowly but surely you are drifting. And this evening God is calling you back. God is calling you back to the foolishness of preaching. God is calling you back to Him and says, my son, my daughter, where are you? I have so much to share with you. Come back to me. Come back to my word. Stop following these philosophies, these teachings, things that you hear. Hear my words. That is you this evening, God. God is calling you back, and maybe just where you are, just respond to Him in your own heart. Say, Father, I want to come back to you. I want to come back to my first love. Lord, I want to come back with a childlike faith to your word that you would speak to me. Maybe there's someone here tonight, you've been running after prophets, dreams and visions and angels, and God is speaking to you tonight. He says, come back to me. Why spend that money? Why spend that time running to hear from a prophet when you can hear from me? Why travel so far and so wide when you can close your door right where you live and where you stay, and you can speak to me? Because I want to speak to you. Maybe if that is you tonight, just respond to Him. I'm going to give you a moment for each one of us just to respond to His word. So we allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts. Father, we want to thank you that in times past, you spoke to us by the prophets. But in these last days, you have spoken to us by your Son. God, I pray that you'll open our ears of our spirits, and our souls, and our understanding to hear you speak to us. God, I pray that you will make us hungry for your word and for your voice. As we read your word, let us read to listen. And open our hearts to hear as you speak to us, Holy Spirit. You bring to remembrance, you bring to understanding, you make alive your word. And God, I pray that you'll give us the boldness and the grace to apply what we hear, to make it our own and to do as you say, so that we may reap the life that it promises. Thank you, God, that you do not leave us alone. And we need no one to teach us, but your Spirit that already lives within us. Oh God, break open your word, the simplicity and the power of it. And may we run with it and share it everywhere we go, so that your life and your light may spread all over this world. We ask you this. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name.
Well, thank you for coming.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.